ערב טוב רבותיי, שבוע טוב, wonderful to be back, back in action, השתבח שמו. So, unfortunately, I left you guys with a cliffhanger last week, and we were in the middle of a discussion of basar shenita'ane min ha'ayin, which is a kashrut pitfall that unfortunately sometimes gets overlooked. We gave some applications last week, and we started finding solutions to the isur. So anybody want to jump in for a second, just a quick rundown of the Isur of Basar Shenita'ane min ha'ayin? Jump in, b'chavad.
This was brought down after the Mishnah time, because during the Mishnah, if there was one non-kosher restaurant, and there were nine other non-kosher restaurants, and there was a meat found on the floor, you could assume that it must have come from the other,
But afterwards, the Chachamim made a takana, Basar Shenita'ane min ha'ayin is a sur.
Right.
Why? Because they were afraid that a goy might be tempted, not about this. The goy might be tempted to switch it. Now we said it's not something that is limited to meat. Meat is the most common example. But what else did we say?
Wine, fish.
Anything. So what was the rule? Anything that's isur Torah. How many chotamot?
Two.
Anything that's isur derabanan. One chotam. We spoke about pizzas. Chotam is like a seal, and we spoke about how to make seals.
That's all according to
Baha'u'llah. Amal brings down a more lenient opinion.
One for everything?
Huh?
Just one for everything.
Bidi'avad.
Durban on the Yemeni seals?
Yes. Yes. The only difference is that Bidi'avad, whereas Manan would hold that by Isure Deoraita, if you didn't have two chotamot, it's Asur Bidi'avad, according to the Rama, it would be Mutar Bechotam Echad Bidi'avad Keshitat Rabbeinu Tam. Now.
But my saying in your suitcase, you know they're not going to touch it. You know, just like the thing just clips open or whatever.
Yeah. How do you know they're not going to touch it? You know how many times situations there were of TSA officers getting arrested for stealing stuff and what have you? It happens. You know what I'm saying? Not saying
I
it's common.
Put anything in the food. What's the moment to put anything in?
Not necessarily put anything in the food to switch it.
Yeah, they don't know. They don't switch.
Huh?
I mean, how would they know to switch?
What do you mean?
The whole point is them getting a chav out of it and getting a profit.
If they're, if it's not under your supervision, now we're going to talk about, that's another hitir. But let's say there's something that's easily switchable and there would be reason, there would be cause for them to switch it. Let's say it's a sandwich. It looks very good. It can, you know, a burger. You ordered a burger and you put it in your check-in luggage. Okay? And they open it up. TSA opens it up and he wants the burger. How difficult is it to switch a burger? You know how many burger places there are in the terminal? That they could get a non-kosher burger and put it. I'm thinking there's a million different things that they can do and you'll never know. Why? Because it doesn't have cheese on it. Okay, you think every treif burger has cheese on it? You know, tachshivu. You know what I'm saying? Now, I say tachshivu in Persian. Think. Anyway.
Pons?
Pons. Now, listen carefully. We're moving on to Pitaron, solution number two for Basar Shenita'ane min ha'ayin. Number one was Chotamot. Number two is Tevi'ot Ayin, which means, let me read to you the Shulchan Aruch and then I'll explain in a broader sense. Maran writes, Hey, Im Shalach. Now, if you remember, Maran and Seif Aleph spoke about two times, two different situations where Basar Shenita'ane min ha'ayin would apply. One is if you deliver meat with a goy, and number two is even if you didn't deliver, but if you left it in the care of a goy, unsupervised, by Israel. Says Maran, Im shalach al yidei ovid kochavim yarech belochotam. Ma ze yarech?
Thigh.
Let's say you send a piece of thigh meat. Im yichatucha kederech sheYisrael chotcha, achar chatita tagid keshera. It's a Gemara in Baba Metzia and Elam Tziot. It says, Rabba Bar Bar Chana used to cut. He says, V'chen kol chaticha shenikar banikur haYisrael, כגון בנטילת חוט דיאדה וחוט שאצל החזה וכיוצא בו. Let's say you have a whole piece of thigh meat that you're sending with a goy. And you can tell there's like tunneling inside the meat that you can tell that it was trebered. You can tell that they took out the gid hanashen, the chelev and whatever. That's something only Jews do. Goyim don't go through the trouble of doing nikur agid, nachon? So obviously, if you see that, it's a ra'ayah that what? That it's kasher. You know it came from a Jew, and therefore, over there, even without chotamot, it would be mutar, because it's recognizable that it's from a Jew. Now, second. Yeah, here we go. There's another thing. There's something that's called tvi'ut ayin. Tvi'ut ayin is recognition. Now, recognition is either in one of two ways. One way is what Maran just said. Maran said that if all the Jews in the place cut the meat in this certain way and goyim don't do that, that's recognition. But there can be another more personal, intimate kind of recognition that we're talking about. For instance, let's say you look at a piece, you look at a piece of meat, and you look at it, and now after looking at it, you really absorb in your mind how it looks. And then after you deliver with the goy, when it gets from point A to point B, once it arrives, you look at it again and say, yeah, I can recognize the piece. What's the halacha?
Take a picture.
Or take a picture. Let's say, but before pictures. Chazal didn't require pictures. Chazal required a picture in the head. If you can legitimately say, I recognize it, the visit. Now, in order to do that, you have to see it first. Many times people say, sometimes when... I've had situations where things were sent from a kosher restaurant without a chotam. Big problem. Happens. Yeah? Now what? Person opens up and let's say it was poppers. Maisa was that it was poppers. I know that this place makes their poppers like this. Is that considered a yakir or not? And without having seen it before.
Yes.
Without having seen this pan or this piece. You know what I'm saying? Now, if I saw it before, and let's say I saw the pieces in this, you know, they were stacked like this, and they were, I can recognize the pieces. I saw it before I left the store, and I saw it when it arrived at the, that's fine. That's called tviut ayin. The Gemara says that tviut ayin is not only for Talmid Chachamim. Even a non-Talmid Chacham is believed with tviut ayin. Okay, what do you say?
Yeah, places have consistency. I'm saying every Carlos and Gabby's made of poppers is exactly the same.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Does that mean that no other Goyish place can replicate that? Easy enough. Now again, you're right. Every pan of poppers that comes out of restaurant X looks like this. Comes out of restaurant Y, looks like that. That I get. But that's not necessarily tviut ayin, because yeah, okay, this other kosher stores didn't make it this way, but who's to say that a non-kosher store didn't make it and the goy switched it on the way? You know what I'm saying? So that's not necessarily tviut ayin, unless you can prove that this is... Only Jews do it this way. The non-kosher restaurants don't do it this way at all. Then be'emet would consider it would be like a tvut ayin. Understand? But it's very hard to prove something like that. Yeah, no one's saying.
Every store, like, the poppers from like House of Subs is going to be different than the ones from like that. They're not going to look the same. They don't really look so much the same. They
okay.
just don't taste the same.
Okay.
You can't taste them, but they're going to taste. Is that considered tvut ayin?
Did you? Well, that's exactly what Yosef. How did I debunk that just now?
Because other places could be.
No, they can.
What?
Another store can't replicate the
same. Other. Well, you know. That first of all, it's not true that they can't. Everything's possible. Now, other kosher stores don't do that. But again, over here, we're not concerned about other kosher stores. We're concerned about all of the other non-kosher stores that it could have came from. Did you ever see what the poppers look like in non-kosher stores? No. Did you ever taste a non-kosher popper?
So maybe
no.
The same?
Huh? Yeah. It's chicken with spices and stuff. You know, it's not rocket science.
What about like your mother's food, someone else's like someone else's food?
Yeah.
There is a difference. They look similar, but not the same. So why not?
But you still have no re'aya. You have no way to prove that it didn't come from the non-kosher place. They could have replicated it. Now again, do you know that it's not from the other kosher place? Yeah, pretty much, because they don't make it like that. But that's not our hashash. Our hashash is the non-kosher places, yeah.
Why are you not worried that maybe there's other for the money, you don't have to seal it, but they can open up or if they put something on it, you can't tell it's not kosher. It adds something to it. They don't take anything away. So they pour like oil on your poppers, that's like from pig oil. And so it looks exactly the same.
Well, we're not concerned that he's going to make it tray for you. They're always, as we're going to see later in the halachot, there has to be some personal benefit to the goy. So he's not going to just, you know, make it asur for you. They're not in the business of doing that. They might be in the business of, you know, eating it, taking it for their own personal gain, and switching it in order to cover their tracks. That's what Chazan were concerned about. You understand? So if you look at it before, you know, and is it 100% that if you looked at it before and this is the same piece that it didn't encounter any sur in the way? No, but for Chazal it was enough. Because midoraita, this is not even a concern. Midoraita, you don't have to be choshesh. This is all chashashot midorabanan. So another one that we just spoke about is tiviot ayin, which means recognition. Best, you know. So I tell people all the time, that is not a raya. You know, you say, this has got to be from House of Subs, because only they make poppers that way. Or whatever. Or this for sure from Aaron's. Or this. You don't know that. You know what I'm saying? Relative to the other kosher restaurants, you know. Relative to the non-kosher places, you have no clue. So that's not, you can't consider that to be the ayin. If you looked at it, you went to the store before it got, you know, before it got sent, and you took a mental picture of it and came to you the same way, okay, shamati, that's viewed ayin. Yeah.
What if you get a guy about Shuba who has seen other places? They didn't say, no, this is a Raya that I have to tell. That's a Raya?
He didn't see every place.
Or not. He's seen every place?
He was. Oh, they saw all the, you're not talking about entire America, you're talking about
In the local area.
Yeah, so let's say you get a guy about Shuba, and they've seen all the other stories. They know this is most likely.
Well, a guy doesn't have Nemanut. So let's say a Baal Shuba. And he says there's no place in the... Well, you also have to take time into effect, right? Let's say, how long... You can call the Mashgiach, or you can go... When did you send the delivery? Okay, you sent the delivery at 6 p.m. When did delivery arrive? 6:15, 6:20, 6:30. It has to be plausible, you know, the amount of time to go and order and go to the store and get this, you know, the switcheroo and you're right. The guy says there is no place within a 10-mile radius that makes poppers like this. Alai. Okay. Shamati. Yeah. What do you say?
The Rebbe Kamer, we can track where the delivery guy is.
We did not. We didn't speak about that yet. That's another element which we're going to get to soon, which is called mirtat, which is really just fear of repercussion. So
here you can track him, like with Grubhub and all these food apps that you can deliver food. They show you where the guy is, where when exactly he picked it up,
mm-hmm.
and where he is on a map towards your destination.
Let's say
he
had something. Let's say he had. Let's say it's a burger delivery. Yeah, kosher burger.
Yeah.
What if he had a non-kosher burger in the car, and yours looked really good? You know what I'm saying? It's not. He doesn't have to necessarily stop in Burger King to get a burger. You know what I'm saying? He might have had something in the car. Huh? Yeah, Neil Dalma. Now, you'd be surprised as we're going to go on in the Siman and speak about, in you know what Chedemes are?
Yeah.
Like housekeepers? Yeah. So you'd be surprised how many times it happens, even not like, not on purpose, but they just come and bring their own food and, you know, trife up the kelim and switch. It happens. These are things that happen. Now, let's move on. He says, chet. Everything we've been talking about is a goy. What about an amaretz? Amaretz, person's not so stark. Jew. Says Maran, saif chet. הלוקח בשר ושלחו ביד אחד מעמי הארצות, נאמן עליו, אף על פי שאינו מוחזק בקשרות, ואין חוששים שמייחליף. He says, which means what? Even if he's on הארץ, whatever. Even if he's not מוחזק בקשרות. If the guy is מוחזק בלא קשרות, let's say we know, can you send, here's a good one, a Jewish, non-שומר תורה מצוות, who consumes נבלות וטרפות, as a delivery guy, without chotamot. Mutar or asur?
Asur, no, because he's chashud.
Chashud, that's what we spoke about. Since he's chashud, he's not ne'eman. Over here, we're not talking about somebody who's chashud. He's just not muhzak bekashrut. Amar, it's, you know, a regular guy. You don't know too much about him. Still ne'eman, that he didn't switch. Ve'afilu avde Yisrael ve'amhotehem ne'emanim bedavar zeh. Even avde Yisrael, even the avadim, they're ne'eman. Says Maran, ויש מי שאומר שאם הוא חשוד לאכול דברים שאין דרך הרבים להקל בהם, אף הוא חשוד להחליף. If he eats things that people, the derech of people is not to be mekel. For instance, what? He's not talking about yashan. Why is yashan different than any kashrus things? Maran even mentions it over here. He doesn't say yashan specifically, but what? It's doraita also, but the general sentiment among most people is not to be so makbid about yashan. And among most people, even if you don't consume yashan, even if you consume chadash, you still keep kosher. Whereas there's things that general sentiment is, if you eat nevelot utrefot, everybody understands that you don't keep kosher. If a person eats things that in everybody's eyes is considered a deal breaker with regards to kosher. Now again, I'm not talking about the, you know, how kosher has evolved. People keep kosher at home, but not outside. You know, fish, but not meat. And that's all shtusim. You know what I'm talking about? I keep kosher, but I keep kosher at home. But when I go out, I eat whatever sometimes, but I still consider I keep kosher. It's shtuyot. I'm not talking about that. A person who legitimately tries their best to keep kosher, they may not be educated in all the pratim, but nevela I'll never touch. Trefa I'll never touch. You know what I'm saying? For lack of a better term, what about unchecked salads? No, bemet. Let's say a person, he tries to keep kosher and he eats salads without checking so well, or that also doesn't make him necessarily a chashud for ma'achalot asurot. Because as we know, even though the isur of eating a salad can be exponentially more severe than even one piece of non-kosher meat, because all the bugs involved and everything, huh?
It's not a guarantee that there was something.
That's A. And B, what's public perception of a salad? Just a salad. It's not, they don't look at it as nevelot utrefot. You know what I'm saying? So over there, that doesn't necessarily make him a chashud. Maybe if you educate him, you say, Abba, it's a ba'aya gdola. You know what I'm saying? It's a very... A salad, if not checked properly, could be exponentially worse than, you know, because every kazait of nevelot utrefot, how many surim? One. Every bug?
Four,
five, or six. Depends if it's a water bug, land bug, flying bug. But I mean, none.
Can you trust the salad?
Huh?
Can you trust the salad in the restaurant?
That's a different story altogether. I'm not going there, Baba. Now,
am I just reiterating the last part?
You have to be careful. You have to... B'dikat tolaim is chashuv meon. You have to...
Yeah. Have ashkafah.
Okay, that's a different story. I'm not... Baba, I'm not getting into that right now. But you have to be... You got to look into... Well, you got to look into what the methods of bidika is. Now, over here we talk halacha. So, yeah, matomer.
Is it because the relative of the etzim is something that's also something you can, but they're thinking, okay, like if they were having good one, thinking I'm going to eat something that is the etzim also versus salad, which etzim is not also, just has something that might make it also.
That's not necessarily, because a salad from its inception, if not checked properly, is chizkat isul. Because it's muhzak betolaim, unless you clean it properly.
Afterwards.
No.
It's like only half. That's only at a different level, no?
No. The second you take the lettuce out of the ground, we know that it's infested with bugs. And if you don't check it, guess what? You need to check it well in order to break the chazakah to give that a cheskat kashrut. But if you take lettuce out of the ground and even just wash it lightly and put it into a bowl, your chazakah is what? You're eating bugs, unless you wash it well, unless you check it well. Kafi alacha? Yeah.
So just to like reiterate what Rav said,
yeah.
Someone that's neutral, or like he's a slave, slave of a Jew,
mm-hmm.
he's ne'eman because...
A slave of a Jew is ne'eman because he belongs to Israel and he belongs to a Jewish household.
What about someone that's not muhzak?
Even if he's not muhzak bekashrut, but he doesn't have a chizkat, but he's not mamash chashud, ne'eman. But if the person is chashud, we know him to eat ma'achalot asurot, that other people, general sentiment is to consider non-kosher, or not keeping kosher, he's chashud le'achlif, and you can't send him on delivery without chotamot. Yeah.
Would it be considered, would it be related to the sugya of b'yad of Rav Gittin, where it's b'yad, the delivery guy to flood it, thereby,
Well, over here it's worse because since it's biado le'achlif,
right.
So
right.
We have to assume the worst. Now, let's move on. There is another heter that I want to touch on beginning from tonight. We'll continue with it tomorrow. So far, how many heterim do we have?
Two.
What do we have?
Chotamot,
Tviut Ayin. Now we're going to move into something that's called Mirtat. Mirtat in Aramaic is like mityareh. Scared. Now, nobody wants to be caught in the act of switching anything, even if he means well or whatever, because that means that he tampered with it. It means he stole. Nobody wants to get caught like that. So that fear or that pressure of not being caught, that also creates a certain heter in terms of basar shemit alim min ha'ayin. How? In what context? Says Maran. Very, very important sa'if. Yod. Hameniach oved kochavim beveto. ובו דברים שהם מוחלפו, יש בהם אפילו איסור תורה. Now, let's say you leave, forget about deliveries. Put deliveries aside for a second. Let's say you leave a goy at home. And in the house, you have kosher sensitive items. For instance, things that even if they'd be switched, there would be isur d'oraita. Like meat, wine, chicken, you know, things of that nature. And you leave a goy there. What do you think Manan's talking about? Housekeepers too. Yeah? Could be a housekeeper. And he says, Im hu yotze v'nichnas, if he's going in and out, which means that even without chotamot, even without anything, but the ba'al ha'bayit, or anybody, any member of Anshei HaBayit, the Poskim say. It doesn't have to be necessarily Ba'al HaBayit. It can be anybody who's, if you're walking in and out, that still creates this element of fear. Or afilu sheha zman rav, velo hodi'o sheda'ato lishhot mutar. Or even if he was, yotzev nichnas means every few minutes he's in and out. Says Manan, even if he's not in and out every few minutes, even if he's out of the house for a long time, sheha zman rav, as long as you didn't tell him that you're planning to go out for a long time, what's in the goy's mind? Come back in a minute. So that creates the mirta, that creates the yir'ah, and therefore, mutav, says Maram. V'lachayshenan sheme yichlif, afilu imhu nehena v'chalipin. What's considered zman rav? Zman rav, there's machlok et haposkim, the Bach and others say it's up until 72 minutes. Others say that it's even longer than that. The poskim say also, many poskim say, what happens if a person, let's say, the Ba'al HaBayit has a routine. Everybody goes to work, school, whatever, for the whole day, right? They're out by 9, 10 in the morning, whatever, and they don't come back until 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever. Nobody. That means that the goy is already accustomed to what? To a window of time every day that no one's around and no one's coming. Even if many poskim say that even if you didn't tell him that you're planning on being out, this is like you're telling him you're going to be out because you've already set that routine. Now, what happens, be'emet? Listen to this. What happens if you tell the goy I'm going to be out for X amount of time? What does that do to the mirtat? Now he's not as scared anymore because now that you told him that, what happens? He knows you're not coming back for X amount of time and he feels comfortable to switch. And some poskim say, even if you didn't tell him anything, if the goy already understands your daily routine, that you're out of the house for, even though technically, can you come home whenever you want? Yeah, fine. But at the end of the day, you don't, that creates a problem. Says Manan, even if he does benefit from the chalipin, I'm going to come back to this in a moment. This all applies where he didn't lock the door on him. Now again, locking the door on the Ba'al HaBayit means that you need the goy to open up in order to gain access. If the Ba'al HaBayit has the code or the key to the house, even if the goy locked it, it's considered unlocked. Why? He wants to walk in. לפי שהוא מתיירא בכל שעה למור, אתה יבוא ויראני. Now he's going to come and see me. Now he ends off and says, אבל אם הודיעו שדעתו לשהות, אסור. If he told the goy that he means to be out for X amount of time, I'll be out for the next while, I won't be back for a while, then it's a problem. ואם אינו נהנה בחליפין. Now so far, this was one heter of מרתת. Before we continue with the last piece, what else can be מרתת? Gaon of Binyamin Cohen, who's the Rosh Kol in Chaim Berlin, Gaon Gadol, he's Rav Feivel Cohen's son, he wrote Sefer Chilkat Binyamin. And he writes on this, video cameras in the house, even if they don't know that they're being manned or whatever, if you tell the lady, the goy, that there's video cameras in the house, immediately, by the way, this solves many, many basar shenit'anim min ha'ayin problems in the house, especially if you have live-ins, nannies, hired help, whatever. You tell them, by the way, it's good to tell them anyway, there's a camera in the house. Not only for kashrut. It keeps everybody in check. You know what I'm saying? When there's cameras, people act different. But even for kashrut, and especially for working parents and everybody's in school and people are out of the house for long stretches during the day, the Shalom Yididi. Shalom Yididi. Shavua Tov Yididi. And he says, "Ez chiyuch ishtabash." Anyway, so over there, it creates a certain fear. It instills a certain. It's like a in English, the word is called a deterrence. It implements a deterrence in the person. They don't want to do something. So I tell people all the time, you got cameras all over the place. So put a camera in your kitchen, Mayesh. And then you don't have any of these shilas anymore. Put a camera, one camera in the kitchen. Even if it's not one of the professional ones outside, take one of the, you know, they have Google Home or whatever it's called. I don't know what it's called. Nest, one of these chavrlach. You put it in the kitchen. You save yourself, you create a mirtat. And then you don't have to, every time, did I tell her how much I'm going out? Did I put chutamot, kol pa'ams? Is it? You know, you created a mirtat, v'akol besed. Yeah.
We don't explicitly tell them there's cameras, but they can obviously see them like on the ceiling. Is that okay? Like,
yeah. If it's noticeable. So, as opposed to like a discreet, like nanny cam, the ones that are hidden, and you, then in order to produce the mirtat, she's got to know that they're there. But if it's like, yeah, there's a camera, then you know. Yeah? And especially in this generation, there's cameras everywhere. So people usually, when they walk into a new setting, first thing they do is to look around and look if there's cameras. Yeah. Yeah.
What's the definition of mirtat?
Mitiare. Yeah. Would you want to ask?
What is the best to not show where the cameras are? That way it can be more like, okay, the kitchen's on, like off limits, but maybe the other rooms are more lenient? Or
well, the only place that they're going to switch is stuff that I have in the kitchen, no? I mean, I don't keep food in the bedroom, or, you know, meat. And I don't keep meat in the bedroom, you know what I'm saying? But my Rebbe once told me, I know what this, we'll continue Bezat Hashem tomorrow, very interesting stuff. My Rebbe once told me, says he doesn't like with cell phones now, people are accessible 24 hours a day, you can call them in the middle of the night. And that's a very bad thing, because people sometimes get addicted to the phone. They don't go to sleep for hours on end because they have their phone with them, and they scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll and say, yeah, not seeing it, they're not shown, you know what I'm saying? But no. And by the way, you should know, scientifically, I read a study, phones and other devices, they emit blue light. Ever heard of that? Blue light is not so good for the brain, and it also is a stimulant, which means that it's very hard to fall asleep after long periods of looking at blue light. It's not healthy. So Mary once told me, he says, I don't understand. Why do people bring their phones to their room? Well, you bring your refrigerator to your room, the refrigerator stays in the kitchen, the phone stays in the kitchen. Huh? Get an alarm clock.
Emergency.
Get a landline.
Put on airplane mode and just put it away.
Mm-hmm. Blue light filter.
What's below that filter?
It changes the color on the phone of what light gets emitted from the phone. So it stops blue light from being emitted.
That doesn't help you. That doesn't stop you from scrolling.
It stops the
idea. But you'll get tired of this. You won't stay awake itself.
Put the phone on airplane mode.
Listen to me, hello. Take the phone, put it in the kitchen, and go to sleep. So, that's the best thing. Emergencies, nachon? Yeah, you think before cell phones people didn't have emergencies?
Yeah, but now it's more convenient. You have a cell phone emergency.
Going to sleep is also more convenient. Having koch la'avod at HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also more convenient. Laila Torah.